There are things that God wants to do at Word of Grace that have nothing to do with what we can bring to the table. There are things God is doing at Word of Grace that has nothing to do with what we can bring to the table. So this service is a very important one. It's also like right in the middle of holidays, so that also means it's hard to get here. But thank you so much for making the time to come and be with us this Sunday. This Sunday, I want to just recap some of the things that God did in the year past and the things that the Lord is bringing us into. But before I do that, I just want to invite you, if you're not someone who is familiar with how Word of Grace operates, or if you're visiting here, we want to invite you into fellowship, and we want to invite you to partner with what God is doing here. We do a time of financial giving and things like that at our church. There is a number on the screen that you can give by text, but there are also boxes in the room. Our kiddos are downstairs watching King of Kings, which is a movie, so they're having a pajama party downstairs, so they're having a great time. But let's just give thanks to the Lord for his word and for the gifts that we have received this morning. Father, we thank you for your provision for our church. Lord, we thank you that every single place that you have caused us to work and prosper, Lord, we give you glory for it. Lord, we thank you for every provision comes from you. So, Lord, I ask that as we give this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would multiply it, Lord God, that you would use it for your glory. Lord, and for our children, Lord, that you would meet with them. Lord, for us in this room, I ask, Lord, that there would be a transforming of our hearts this morning. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, Basecamp 2026. So, if you're newer here, this has been something that's happened for over 10 years now. We would start every new year with a base camp. So a base camp is a concept in climbing where if you're in a group that's climbing a high mountain, you would have base camp, and then you would have multiple camps that you would make along your trek to acclimate to the climate of where you're headed. Because if you're into mountain climbing, you'll know that you could not just lose your breath, you could die if you don't acclimate. You won't be able to breathe. The air up there is thinner. And then next thing you know, you're going loopy. And you fall asleep somewhere. And then they find you 30, 40 years later. But that is not what, I mean, that it is pretty scary, but that's what happens in mountain climbing. That is why base camps are important. So every group, at every section of a climb, there is a place where they stop, they set up camp, and then they sometimes camp for 2 to 3 months even. Like if you're going to Everest, they will camp there at the foothills for months before they head up onto a climb. These are important things because at the end of each year, sometimes we're like, all right, let's just go 2026, let's go. Hang on. Set up camp. What has God done? And what is God drawing us into that we understand what we need in our tool belt, that we understand what we need to carry? So there are certain things we need to let go of. 2025 things that we need to let go of, and 2026 things that we need to lay hold of. So that's the concept behind Basecamp. So I just want to go over some of the things that God taught us in 2025. The whole year was about yielding to the Lord. It was a year where we had, can I have the next slide up? I just want to go through some of the things that we learned in 2025. I started the year off talking about the lordship of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not Lord in our lives, everything else that we talk about yielding is usually some sort of self-serving goal. It is something that we want to achieve out of God. I want to be a better person with my time. I want to be someone who's better with my devotions. There's a self-serving aspect to it. Whereas if it's like, Jesus is my Lord and he is the only one who gets the glory from whatever happens, then my surrender finds meaning. My surrender starts to mean something. So the lordship of Jesus is central. Bob taught us about dealing with our excuses that we bring in how we respond to the Lord. He also talked to us about what the new creation life we've been given is all about. So when 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. We often say, Lord, I want to yield to you, but I want to yield to you as me. I want you to just kind of like shape me into a slightly better version of me. And he's like, uh-uh, you're off the table. The creation that he is after is what Jesus' work has done in you. And that person has been remade, has been renewed completely in the form of Jesus. So that is the creation that he's after. So he's not saying, I'm trying to make Dan a better version of what he already was. He's saying, I have made you a completely new man. Now I want you to learn what it is to surrender that to me. When you surrender your new creation life to God, you start to find righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit start to become the way of life in you. Donovan talked to us about how we resolve conflict within the church, within the workplace. It was a very practical series on how we navigate conflict in the family of God. How do we yield, with our theme being yielding, how do we yield quickly when God challenges us or other people in the church challenge us? And what does it mean to be the freed person in God? So freedom is not I'm free to do whatever I want to do, but I'm free to surrender to God. I am free. I'm not trying to correct everything in my world, but I'm ready to be God's freed person. Alan talked to us about the response that we have to the gospel. This is an important thing because the gospel sometimes has to do with, in our sphere, Jesus died for your sin, and he rose again from the grave, and therefore you are a Christian. Amen. But the gospel is that Jesus wants you to live in the abundant life that he came to give you. So dying for your sin was the starting point. Setting you free from that old pattern of life is the starting point. And he wants you to live a life of prosperity in heart, in body, and in how you live. So there is a certain lavishness of the presence and the resource of God that is available to believers. But we've got to make sure that this is God's quest. It's not my own. So there is a quest that he has for us. Each of us are unique, and God has set us in a workplace, in a family, in a church, in a community, and he says, I have something for you specifically, but also as a church and also as a family. I want you to respond to me. So Alan really talked through these things really well. Bob and I kind of tag team a little bit on helping us understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We really kind of laid into this over the back end of this year of really understanding why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot be like an appendage to theology. The Holy Spirit cannot be like, oh yeah, it's because it's that Trinity thing. Yeah, so he's like a third part that we don't ever talk about, but we should talk about. No, the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to live the Jesus life. That new creation life we were just talking about, Jesus is the one who does that. And we kind of close the year really talking about the firm foundation of God's word and why it is important that we surrender to it. Yielding to God's word is not I have some good days, some bad days. The word of God stands forever. So when I embrace the word of God, I am embracing the only place that defines reality. The world around me doesn't define reality. The word of God does. So when he speaks, something happens. And we talked about how that has to do with the written word of God, the spoken word of God. How do I be sensitive in my heart when God is speaking? And we closed the year during Christmas with laying down of ourselves the same way Jesus laid himself down. So is that that was like a whistle-stop tour of 2025, okay? Of all the things that we learned in 2025 about being a yielded person, it was about posture. So over any of the other things that you heard, what we were trying to highlight all the way through was, yeah, you can go ahead and do all these things, but I want you to have a posture of heart. Right? Because sometimes the problem is we have a tendency to want to go away and just do something. Because we are often surrounded in Christian circles with people who do a lot of talking. So like, I want to go ahead and do this stuff. And I'm with you. I'm one of those kinds of people who hates endless talk about stuff. I would love to go ahead and do stuff. But here's the issue. When we just go ahead and do stuff and we're not trained to handle the word of God well, what ends up happening is whatever's in our gut ends up leading us. And that can often lead us down some really, really scary paths, if not downright wrong paths. Okay? So that is the kind of faith that ends up crashing and burning by 2026 April, if you're lucky. Okay? So, but to be people who are formed in God is a lifelong process. But with each place of confidence that we have, the Bible calls this maturity. And we want to grow in maturing. We're connecting our meeting with God every single time we open the Bible. So I'm not just opening the Bible to learn new things. I'm opening the Bible to know God. And if there is two words that we have as a core anchor for what we are trying to do here at Word of Grace, is we want the people in our church to say, I know God. And when people around town hear about us or people around town meet you, they'd be like, this person knows God. I know some things about Christian living, but this person knows God. They don't have perfect lives. They mess up just like we do. But this is somebody I want to be near because they know God. So that is something that I want to set before you as we go into 2026. So this past year we talked about posture. This next year, we're going to the encouragement on a weekly basis. So our theme for 2026 is now live in this. Okay? So Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Can you go back to that previous slide? So I want you to see the goal of now live is for us to be people who are surrendered. And now, Holy Spirit, break out. What you are doing, I'm ready to unleash the things of God. And I'm not the one who's sitting saying, I want the Holy Spirit to explain every single part to me before we go ahead and do it. Which is why that word that Sam shared with us from Isaiah 61, it's way beyond your pay grade. That list of things that Isaiah 61 talks about is way above our pay grade. Where do you get off thinking you can set people who are bound free? I don't. It is the work of Jesus. So I merely become the hands and feet. It is never our power. It is never our doing. So if there is one word that I want you to start seeing, and I'm going to be drawing out over the next few minutes, I want to take some time to not just give you a vision for 2026. I want to set a vision for 2035. So for the next 10 years, what are we looking at as a church? Because sometimes when we talk about these things, we're like, oh, yeah, it's a good theme for the year. Oh, yeah, great. Now what next? But what are the kind of things that we want to see established and systematically work towards? There are things that are not going to be done by the end of 2027 or 2028. But we set our eyes on this one aim. If we're growing towards being people who are known for knowing God, what does that look like in practice? What are the things that we need to set in place along the way so that we're not crashing and burning halfway through the year? How do we set ourselves up to be people who now live the reality of the gospel? So, you learned about yielding your heart to God. Now live as someone who has Jesus as Lord. Yes, you are a child of God, now live as a child of God. See, it's one thing for you to understand the theology of it, the theological concepts, and for most of you, as I'm looking around this room, have a Christian background. And there is a tendency to understand the theology of things. Okay, good. Now live it. And the now live it part cannot be dependent on you. Are you hearing me? Because that is literally what creates burnt out Christians. We're burnt out with a system that demands something of us without giving us the tools to do it. Yes, Jesus died for your sins. Now live as someone set free from it. That's a big one. Yeah, I mean, how many of us say Jesus died for our sin? How many of us now are also equally confident that I can live free of sin? Do you see? There is a tendency that wants to be, come on, let me be a realist here. Do you see where we try and hedge our bets with saying, you know what, Holy Spirit, you cannot really transform everything about me. Am I starting to contradict 1 John chapter 1 where it says, you know, if someone says they don't have any sin, they are not of the light, they're not walking in truth. But as people who are saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, I want to be transparent with you. When sin is exposed in me, I want to lay it down immediately. Immediate, not, you know, I'm only human. We love singing that song. You're not only human. You are a new creation in Christ. Are you starting to get the impossibility of what I'm calling you to, and at the same time, the absolute surety of what we are called to? We're called to a life by the Spirit. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, for once you were full of darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Just read that carefully. Mark it in your Bible. We've just been through the book of Ephesians as a church, right? And this is one of those verses in chapter 5 when it is starting to set out what darkness and light have nothing in common. And he says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 18. But before that, he's like, you are people who are set apart for light. Stop trying to live like the rest of the world. Stop trying to find your place in the world. You are not of them. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, and this is one of the verses that really put it in focus for me about what we are going for as a church. This is Paul's encouragement to his spiritual son, Timothy. He says, practice these things. Or in other words, now live these things. Stop talking about it. Now practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. So that what? So what? You have a world that's watching and they say, this person is not the same person I saw in 2025. If by the end of 2026, we're just having another Christmas party, and everyone's like, so what's different? Kids are slightly older. You know, and if that is all I have to offer a world that's watching me, why do I want the life you have? We all have the same life. But when I am diligent, and this is where, as a faith family, we come together and say, hey, let us provoke one another to love and good deeds. We're provoking one another constantly, saying, I want to help you grow in God, so that you are not sitting in 2026's Christmas party saying, my life is just the same. You're someone who is moved because people see your progress in God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I'm just going to read this. It's not in their notes. Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. But like newborn babies, long for the pure spiritual milk. Things that cannot be replicated by fleshly religiosity. When you hear that word, pure spiritual milk, it is saying unadulterated, God presence-driven things, where there is none of, well, this is my practice, and so I am able to do this. This is my Christian discipline, so that's why I'm... No, no, no. This is, if it is not out of God's presence, it cannot birth what is of God. So like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. So there is a salvation we have in God that we have not tasted in all of its fullness just yet. We have been given all of it, but we don't live in all of it. Are you hearing me? There is a salvation that you have been given, and you need to learn to say, oh, this is what the new creation, and this is what Jesus saved me for. Well, when was the last time you prayed over someone this and healed the sick? When was the last time you bound up the brokenhearted? Beyond my pay grade, right? But as someone who has been given this great, rich salvation, he says, now give. The same way the Father sent me, I am sending you. This prophecy in Isaiah 61 was about who? Jesus. And what did Jesus say? This was my mandate. Guess what I'm giving you? The same one. Now go. Go into all the nations and do exactly what I did. Well, I don't know how to do. I mean, I myself need help. Yeah, you do. Yes, I do. And it would be wonderful when we are people who readily admit, I need the Lord. What Walsh encouraged us with at the start. I readily accept. I return to him and say, Lord, I need you. And then I'm ready to go. I'm not trying to protect my ego, my reputation. What if I pray for this person and nothing happens? What if I say something and lean into their brokenness and I just have to sit there and listen to them blubbering on? It's awkward. That's the task. And the Holy Spirit will empower you for it. You know, when some people look at what it means, like, pastors are often given this job of, like, suddenly, randomly, in the most awkward social situations, they're like, so, pastor. And you're like, wait, I'm just a human being just like the rest of you. Like, what do you expect me to say? It's like, I don't know, they're saying something really weird, and I don't know. You got a take? Can you offer a prayer? And this is something, I mean, I just want to say this. This is a great credit to our church community. I have, over 2025 especially, I have seen the DNA of our church. As I was like working on crafting what we would call a 10-year plan and what we have as a goal for us as a church, the DNA of our church is quite unique. Last year we're a church that have been around in various forms and through lots of things that the Lord has brought us through. For the last 50 years, there have been people in this church. So as we plan for the next 10, right, we're talking about, we've seen 5 decades of God holding us together. We didn't keep ourselves together. We didn't have the strength to do it. We didn't have the ability or the foresight to even see some of the things that are coming. But God. So if we are a people who say, but God, I'm prepared to say, Lord, here I am. As a church, we say, here I am. So when we come to this plan for the next 10 years, I want us to see that it is not by power, but by surrender. So when you see the impossibility of what we are going to talk about, I want you to imagine with me. Because that is sometimes the biggest problem we have as Christians. We're just trying to get to the next day. I don't want to think about that. I just want to move, like, tell me what's the series for next year. There, that's the series for next year. Can we go further than that? Can we go into what God has called us to? Something that is not based on leaders. So for me, as I've gone and heard about the DNA of what God has placed within us, I've been at many gatherings, and I was always delighted to see that I, as a pastor in this church, was given the privilege of joining where you're at with you leading something that God has given you to do. Where there have been a few times, but almost never have I ever been in a situation where, pastor, please, like, go ahead, do the God thing. I'm just here, I just cook the meal. Well, it's your house, so you go ahead and pray for the meal, right? Or God has called me to do something on campus. Go ahead. And I've started to see things like this happening all across our church without there being a clear vision articulated for this. And many of you have come up to me, and I love that you challenge me on these things. Where are we going? What are we doing? And I love that, because it challenges me as someone who is charged with leading to say, I need to have a compelling, clear picture of where we're headed. Because God, it's too expensive. The gift of God that is placed within this church cannot be wasted on somebody preaching a message at you every Sunday. There are things that God is already doing long before I caught up with it. So I just want to paint a picture. Teaching aside, everything else aside, I want to paint a picture of what's coming up. So before that, I talked to several of our leaders and our elders, and I said, these are some themes that have started to come out from, like, what are some of the things we need as we're moving forward? So I asked several people a question. I said, what are some of the core needs that we have? Can you put that up? So we have to look at what are some of the core needs that we have. We need deeper spiritual formation. That is a big place where we need to grow as a church, where we are all clear about who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, what this new creation we've been called to. All of this sounds like Bible language I don't get. We all need to understand these things. We need to be founded in the work of Christ. We need to be founded in what the value of God's word is. We need to be founded in the reality of the Holy Spirit's power. These cannot be like, oh, yeah, it's vague, I don't know. And many of us in this church have come from different backgrounds. None of us, I would say, like, as you look across this room, most of us have not grown up the same way. So it is important that we start to collectively have some clear things that we all believe, that we all are clear about. The second thing that seemed to be very clear to all of us is we need new facilities. Now, we are so thankful. God gave us this building miraculously many, many years ago. And there are people still from that era. And, you know, Andrea, you guys have to sell your class rings and stuff like that to buy this building. I still remember the goodness of God to this group. These are saints who paved the way for what you are experiencing here today. These are people who did not have huge 401ks, or these were young people who barely could make ends meet. And God brought this church together, and they bought this building, was it 1980 by the time the building was bought? In record time, they paid off this building loan. God was good to them. But we are now at a place where the focus of our ministry is shifting, and we are starting to find, like, our downstairs, which at one point was used as a preschool, it was once used as our fellowship potluck hall. It's had many different uses. But now we're getting to that place where we can no longer, we literally have to put kids in cupboards, right? Which we cannot do legally. Okay, just putting that out there. But we're getting to a place where we cannot do things effectively by cramming more things in. Put it that way. But what we can do is say, Lord, we want to be ready for that move. We want to be people who can steward things well, that when that move shows itself or presents itself, we are ready to move. We're not sitting there going, oh, well, now what do we do? We don't know what to do with this much building. We don't know what to do with that. So we're going to paint a picture of that. We need to develop new leaders. Like I said, I'm talking about 2035. Some of us might not be leading. The people that you're so used to depending on right now, some of us won't be the leaders that you're looking to in 2035. And that's fine. But we need to have a plan for it. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I want you to understand something. We're a church that are so that is so evenly balanced demographically. We right now, as a church, have about 40 people who are over the age of 60. That's a big number. So if we're not planning effectively to take care of, to nurture, to receive from intentionally, you're wasting one of the most valuable resources God has given this church. People who have history with God. And you're sitting there going, well, I don't know how God, well, go ask somebody who has been around. Right? And if we don't intentionally lean into this space, we're losing these things. So we need to develop new leaders. And lastly, expand and establish ministry areas. So our men's ministry is a place that we really need attention. Women's ministry is starting to grow. Youth and kids has been going off the chain. We now have over 90 kids under 17. And you are the people who are serving them. It's amazing. How we fit all these people in this building, I don't know. The great thing is we can do it by saying, Lord, we're willing to be faithful with what we have in our hands right now. But particular places of focus, marriages, many of you are newer in your marriage. How do you receive from those who are older in marriage? How do you receive counsel? How do you invite it? How do those of us who have been married for ages learn to be lavish with counsel, with hospitality, with making room for people who don't have marriage figured out yet? We need to care for our elderly. So that is me trying to just give you an overall picture of where the needs are. So I just want to pivot to giving you like a clear picture of what we're doing. The church, I want you to imagine this. Imagine our church like a multi-tool. Has anyone seen what a multi-tool is? You know what a multi-tool is? I have one of the original Leathermans here. Okay? This is like a late 1970s. Somebody didn't know what it was and was throwing it away at a yard sale. I got it about 10 years ago. Now, these things are so nifty. Okay? What is a word that you would use to describe a multi-tool? Useful. What else? What is a multi-tool? What picture does this elicit in your mind? Versatile. What else? Huh? Functional. What else? What? It meets a lot of needs. Portable. Effective. Tiny. Yeah. So are you starting to get the picture of something that doesn't look like much, but packs a punch? I mean, I always travel with this in my pocket or in my car. And over the years, people have gotten cute with it, right? Trying to make it all look fancy. But it's actually a tool. And when we realize that the church's mission is to be a tool that God can use, when we forget that we're not about trying to create nice cathedrals or fancy buildings that people will say, wow, who is it named after and what ministries go there? This is what the church is supposed to look like. It is something that is established on the centrality. So if you notice, there are three icons there. And I'm going to keep harping on these things as we go along. We're a church that is built on the salvation in Christ. Our identity in Jesus is central to this being an effective tool. The Word of God is essential as a foundation. So if we're not guided by the Word of God, we're starting to go off into, well, I think this will be great for Indiana kind of a concept. No, but this is something that is led by identity in Christ, founded and guided by the Word of God, and empowered. The fire over there is His Spirit. So when you look at Word of Grace, and this is, again, not me coming up with this. This is stuff that I've heard you all talk about. I've taken over the last year and a bit of just finding out and fine-tuning what exactly is our DNA. What are we trying to build here? We're not a massive church. And I don't think this is something that we had to establish a little while ago as elders too. We don't have any desires to be a church that is big. But we want to be effective. So, what does that make us? Can I go on to the next one? So we're a nimble or nifty, versatile, small, easy to access kind of church that seeks to be useful to the community. Not just for the people in here. We're a church that's seeking to be useful for the community that God has placed us in. Secondly, we have people within this church, just like this tool, who carry the presence of God with His multi-tool-like gifts. So there are different giftings. There are different resources. They're not all worship songs. They're not all preaching. They're not all come to my church service because it's great. Do you understand? So this is something that can be deployed anywhere. You carry the presence of God into Indiana and the nations. So when you go, all you need to do is say, Lord, I'm here. And He says, here, today is this one. Today we need this one. We don't need the others. Put them away. Today you just need the Phillips head. That's what Word of Grace needs to be today. And guess who's doing it? Nobody from a stage. It will be someone here. And I, as a leader in this church, gets to watch another tool in this multi-tool be used. Lastly, we're ready. Don't miss that word. We're ready. We're not saying, wait, hang on a minute. Let me go ask the Lord. I need to pray on this. We're ready because you're doing the praying consistently. Because again, we are people who are in God's presence. I'm not waiting to arrive at God's presence. I carry the presence of God. I've learned to stop over-spiritualizing things, and I've stopped to be negligent of spiritual things. There's problems on both ends. Whereas I'm someone who's submitted to God, and I'm ready to be deployed as a handy resource to help, heal, nurture, and restore. And this is very important. Without needing a massive ministry outfit or organization. We're not a people that are looking for something massive to be established and say, well, our missions team and director and this person. Okay, you're here. Just share the gospel. If this person is in front of you at a coffee shop and they're confused about life, share the gospel. They need, I don't have healing ministry. They were saying they have some back problem and I was wondering. Pray, lay hands on them and pray. Again, this is all beyond our pay grade. We don't get the power magically operating through these fingers. We're just people who are ready. And we say, Lord, this person needs healing. And guess who does the healing? The healer. Not you. Who does the delivering? Who does the setting free? Not you. So to close this, I just want to give you a very clear picture of where we're headed. We want to be a church that by the time I will take more time over the next few months to explain this in detail. But for now, I just wanted to give you a picture, something to say, because you're not going to remember a vision statement, right? No. But can you remember that we're a multi-tool? That is what we're going for. We're going for a church that is not belabored by lots of heavy statements and big documents. And these are things that we want to be able to explain to people quickly. That when you join the Word of Grace, we are saying we're on a mission to be a useful church to this community. And guess what is happening? It's happening through spiritual formation that is based on identity in Christ, guidance by the Word of God, and the empowerment of the Spirit. These three pillars will not change all through. Don't worry, don't get confused with that. Let's just take that off the screen for now. I will explain that in detail. But for now, I just want you to see that the establishing of God's truth in our lives needs to be something that's clear. We're not going to let go of God's word because we're so clear about the leading and empowering of the Spirit. We're not going to let go of our identity in Christ because I feel like this is accurate, so it should be seen in my life because the Bible says it's so. I need to lean into the new creation of what Jesus has given me. So these are things that we're going to be challenging one another. As we grow, this is going to be a long process. It's not going to be by May of 2026. Guys, let's go. But our church building, when God gives us a new one, should be a place that the community can say, there are people who operate here that we can have. Our Sunday things are not the main meeting. And this is something that I really want you to get. Start to picture this. Our Sunday meetings are an overflow of ministry. The main ministry is happening Monday through Saturday. So the Word of Grace is more active as a church Monday through Saturday than we are on Sunday. Sunday, it's almost, I was sharing this with some I think Hannah was. It's almost like, think about an all-star game where all the people that you wish you could see are all there, except we're not the stars. But it is where every gift that has been deployed through the week gets together and they say, wow, how was that experience? Laying hands on the sick. What was it like to see someone delivered? What was it like? Do you see, this morning God was very clear with me when I was getting up here. He says, you are not going to have the word for today. I was asking the Lord, is there a word for the church? As I was getting up, and the Lord says, somebody else has the word for today. So that's why I got up and I was like, does somebody have the word? Because I knew that God had something for us. And what I love even more, I know some of you have already shared before, but some of you haven't. And as we grow in our gifting and our response to God, we get more and more in tune with what Holy Spirit is saying. That there will almost be very little need for us to have as elders to clean up what is off. Because what are we aiming for? What is good? We're not looking to tear anyone down. We're not looking to say, oh, well, that wasn't really, didn't make any sense to me. We're looking for the voice of God. So when someone is like a little bit like long-winded or they lose track, or it's okay. We love these people. And when you love one another, you're able to say, no, that is what God was saying through you. And I received that. Are you hearing me? So the more and more we get used to that, you're not looking for stage performers. Because the ministry of this church is happening far away from that. The ministry of this church is right here. The more we get used to ministering to one another, when we're drinking coffee, when the service has ended, this overflow service starts to become a resourcing time where you say, hey, I heard this week and I need a word from the Lord. Or you go to some of these older believers and say, how have you seen the Lord navigate this in your life? I want to learn. I want to grow in these things. And one thing's for sure, we're not having a stage in the next building. These are things that we need to learn to get away from. These are trappings of church that we have inherited, not because people think that this is how it's done. But we, the DNA of Word of Grace, and even before that, House of Yahweh, was not that God would have exceptional people who stand out. We need to be a church that all of us grow together. All of us are starting to see the gift of God in me has been fanned to flame by those around me. And when I was off, when I was starting to lose my way, I had older, bigger arms come around me and say, this way. Let's walk this way. And that's great. That I don't go, you know, you're cramping my style, but saying, I thank God that I have 40 people like that in this room. I'm thankful that God has given me parents and fathers and mothers in the Lord who can walk alongside me in faith. And for those of us who are older to say, wow, Lord, I'm so thankful that you've given us the sprightly young people who can just get on with stuff. Lord, help us equip them so that they are released. They know they go with blessing. They know they go in power because you have given us these people. That is where Word of Grace in 2035 looks. So let's just commit ourselves to the Lord together. We already did the commissioning. We already have received from the Lord. But let's just put this picture in front of us of a multi-tool and say, Lord, I ask that you would draw us to now live in these things. Lord, any place where we're holding back and saying, I don't know, maybe that's better left to them. Lord, help us to see our part, that you have called all of us to move together as a multi-tool. So we say yes to you again. Lord, I ask that you would enable us, equip us. Lord, where training is needed, help us, Lord, to be good trainers. Lord, where receiving is needed, help us to be good receivers. Lord, and where impartation is given, that we would say yes. The moment you act, Lord, we're right there. When you speak, we're saying, Lord, your servant is listening. Lord, help us to be people who carry your presence. Don't just talk about it. We're people who walk with you. Lord, and we want to be a blessing to Indiana. Lord, we want to be a blessing to our school district. Lord, we want to be a blessing, Lord, to the nations. But Lord, start with us. Help us grow in you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for this church. May you receive all the glory and honor. Amen.